Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let others obsess on the horse race. We have issues. We're continuing with our election year series, 30 issues in 30 days, one issue a day for 30 days prior to the election. Issue 12, when should neighborhood hospitals close? With many neighborhood hospitals in the outer boroughs especially closing, but also St. Vincent's in Manhattan, some others threatening to close, some New Yorkers will have to travel pretty far to get to the closest ER. Here to talk about possible closures, where our two mayoral candidates stand on the subject, and what's actually the ultimate policy, the optimum policy, are WNYC's Fred Mogul and Anamona Hartikolis, covering this for the New York Times. Hi, Fred. Hi, Anamona.
Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
And Fred, no one likes their neighborhood hospital shut down, obviously. But maybe we should start by saying there's a basic difference of opinion, I think, between Governor Cuomo and some of the local leaders. Can you lay out for us what that difference is?
Well, local leaders typically, as with firehouses and schools and hospitals, want to keep them open at all costs. They will kind of dance around that a little bit, what that will take. They will claim it's not just because they want union support, but actually in Bill de Blasio's report, he actually says jobs first and then emergency services, I think somewhat tellingly. It's a big employment sector, and they're just popular institutions. The state obviously has a much bigger picture, and this state in particular, both in the current administration with Governor Cuomo and prior to him with George Pataki, has tried to take a look at the big picture and said, you know, look, hospitals are closing anyway. They've been doing this for 20 or 30 years. Many of them are remnants of a much earlier time. Let's try to get a hold of this. Let's try to save that which can be saved and close that which can be closed. And it's had somewhat mixed results.
So I'm going to play a clip of the New York State Health Commissioner, Dr. Nirav Shah, on this program, laying out the Cuomo administration's position. This is the first of three clips that we're going to hear. We're going to hear Dr. Shah, and in a few minutes we'll hear Bill de Blasio and we'll hear Joe Loda. But here is a minute of Dr. Nirav Shah, New York State Health Commissioner, on this program last week.
What we're trying to make sure is that every New Yorker has access to high-quality health care that meets their needs. And the issue has been, if you look across the entire borough of Brooklyn, across the borough, based on our best estimates and based on how many people need hospital beds, there are probably around 1,000 extra hospital beds. We're not saying that your hospital bed is extra or that one needs to stay. What we're suggesting is that there's too much hospital care and not enough primary care. So what we're trying to do as an administration is to right-size it and get the right mix of services for each neighborhood. That may be increasing primary care. It may be making sure there's access to a 24-hour emergency room or urgent center. There may be a need for a transplant center in one area, but not in four different hospitals across the street from each other. And trying to figure out how to get that, to get there over a short period of time has been very difficult. We're trying to work with everyone to understand exactly what the needs are in a given neighborhood and try to meet those needs as quickly as possible.
New York State Health Commissioner Dr. Nirav Shah on this program last Tuesday. So, Anamona Hartikolis from the New York Times, that all sounded very logical and rational, and yet it winds up in these political explosions around St. Vincent's and Litch. Why is it so difficult?
It does sound logical and rational. The problem is that what he's not saying is, and what he will avoid saying, is that building up primary care and reducing extra hospital beds probably inevitably means closing a hospital or two or more, which is what has happened.
Why are hospitals like Litch and St. Vincent's going under financially if they're so valued, Anamona?
I think they're valued in a kind of sentimental way by the communities that they are in, and they may also be valued for their emergency rooms. But if you look closely at the usage of those hospitals, as Shah is saying, they tend to have overcapacity. Now, they'll say, well, we were, you know, near capacity for the beds we were staffing, but these hospitals were built for many more patients than they've been serving in the last few years.
So, Fred, how is it that we have all these excess beds in New York City if the population is growing and aging? You would think there would be more demand for hospital beds than ever before.
Except for a crucial thing, hospital stays have been going way down. Hospital stays are very expensive. They're expensive to the hospital. They're expensive to the taxpayer. They're expensive to insurers. So slowly but steadily, those beds have become a thing of the past. You know, very, very few wards are needed to keep people in for more than a day or two. And then there are obviously some portion with relatively long stays. But overall, that's one of the big drivers, and that's yet one more reason that these things are a remnant of the past.
So, Fred, when Bill de Blasio got arrested as part of his mayoral campaign at a protest to keep Lich open, what was he actually demonstrating for?
Well, I think he was obviously for keeping it open and for trying to find some way, and it's not exactly clear. He talks about partnering them with other institutions, and Governor Cuomo, through his Medicaid redesign team, special commission, Berger II commission, also came up with different ways of partnering these institutions together. But at the end of the day, you need to serve the community, and there has to be some correlation between supply and demand. Lich is a little different than some of the other hospitals, we might add. It somewhat like St. Vincent's, is in a relatively wealthy area. Many of those people actually are going across the bridge to Bedpan Alley, as they call it, on First Avenue, and they're going to NYU and Memorial Sloan Kettering and New York Presbyterian, and that's a big issue for them. A little different over in Brookdale and some of the other places that are having financial troubles for other reasons.
So here is Bill de Blasio from the Democratic primary debate on Channel 7 in August.
We have to end this epidemic of hospital closures. How do we fix this problem? The city and state have to take responsibility. It's time for leaders to step up. We haven't had that in recent years. I've proposed first a Brooklyn Health Authority and something we build out citywide over time to have the city and state play the most prominent role in determining how to protect local health care facilities. Health care must be provided locally. The emergency room can't be too far away. If you don't have local health care, you won't get the primary and preventative care you need. So we need the city and state to take responsibility. And my plan is the one that actually would make that happen. And I'm proud to be the only candidate up here who's presented that kind of plan.
Bill de Blasio in August. I asked Joe Loda on this program about that on September 12th.
Bill has been passionate about this, and I'm thankful for that as a resident in Brooklyn. We have a situation in the city where hospitals, 20-some-odd hospitals, have been closed. I think it's over the last 5 or 6 years. You know what you don't hear about hospitals closing? Mm-hmm. In the Bronx. There's some leadership in the Bronx, especially in the healthcare side of it, where Montefiore Hospital has opened up urgent care centers so that the people all throughout the Bronx have access to good health care, and it's a feeder system into the hospital system. Whether or not the people actually go to Montefiore or they go to Jacoby Hospital or Lincoln Hospital, the last two being Health and Hospital Corporation hospitals that are directly run by the mayor of New York. We really need to focus in this city on making sure that hospitals are successful. We're going to need to do it by making sure that they're not standalone and independent. It appears in this country, based on the way reimbursements are paid and the way federal Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements are concerned, as well as private insurance, that a small standalone hospital cannot survive. They need to be part of a larger system.
Republican candidate Joe Loda on this program in September. We heard Bill de Blasio before him from the Channel 7 Democratic mayoral primary debate in August. And we talk about when should hospitals close in neighborhoods as an issue in the mayoral race. Anna Mona Hartikolis from the New York Times. Is it clear either from those answers or from other things you know whether the two candidates would have a fundamentally different approach to this if they become mayor?
I'd say that it's pretty clear from those answers. The questions were a little bit different, but as I recall in the Democratic candidates debate, when Bill de Blasio was asked whether he would put city money towards saving hospitals, he said it could come to that. We didn't hear Joe Loda say that. And I think, putting city money towards hospitals means that the city money has to come out of taxes, let's say. So they also differ evidently on their emphasis on primary care. Now, I suspect that de Blasio is with the Affordable Care Act on that, but I didn't hear him exactly say it. The Affordable Care Act calls for more care to be directed into the community outside of the hospital setting, perhaps in conjunction with hospitals, but that's where you see the system moving. And it's not just New York City or New York State, it's federal.
Fred, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, a lot of this comes much more from the state and the federal government, from the city. It's a little bit like local leaders opining about nuclear proliferation. To the extent they're willing to back it up with checks, that's kind of what it comes down to. The Health and Human Hospitals Corporation, the public hospital system, is running about $500 million annual deficit. It's projected to climb close to $1 billion annual deficit. They're looking to control that. They don't really have a lot of money to spend. I've asked them whether they would be interested in taking over these facilities, and they said really thanks but no thanks. So to that extent, I don't really see much. I do see de Blasio's invested a lot in this. He would have a bully pulpit, and we'd have to see what he would do with that in terms of really forcing other players to get together and operate and work on keeping these places open.
Vic in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Vic.
Hi. I was wondering, since emergency rooms are probably the biggest losers financially for hospitals, if the sudden appearance of all these storefront clinics, which are run by hospitals, is a way of privatizing the emergency room.
It's a great question. Fred, what do you think?
Well, a lot of those are actually not run by hospitals. There are some, and there are ways hospitals can constructively use emergency rooms to get patients into their systems. It really depends on which patients. It obviously wasn't enough for St. Vincent's. It had an emergency room, and people would come in there, and then they would go off to those other hospitals. It helps even less financially if your patients are poor, have multiple health problems, and they're coming in repeatedly, and now the federal government actually is going to penalize you for repeated hospital admissions and repeated ER visits on some level.
And it does seem, Anamota, that as we have these multiple debates about hospital closures, that these urgent care centers that aren't quite emergency rooms are springing up everywhere.
They're the wave of the future. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of them are, as your caller, I think, was suggesting, they are being run and opened by hospitals, these storefront clinics. And there's a shift in the reimbursement system toward that kind of care. So hospitals are finding a way to maximize their income by taking that route.
By the way, I'm told that doctors at Litch say the beds are full in the winter, and they argue, shouldn't we have the number of beds we need at the peak, not the average for around the year? Otherwise, a flu epidemic could become very dangerous, for example. Have you heard this, Fred?
Well, it is a perennial concern, the nature of surge capacity. How much for an untoward event, whether it's a seasonal flu or a hurricane and Sandy, that's just something that's tough to manage, and it's going to be tougher as hospitals close.
And also on Litch, we have a caller who we don't have time to put on the air, but he's from Carroll Gardens, and he says the whole angle here is misdirected, or part of it. The real issue is the illegal takeover of Litch by SUNY, not demographics or hospital beds. Is that a pertinent issue to address, Anamona?
Illegal takeover? I think it was perfectly legal. You can say perhaps arguably it was an illegal shutdown, but on the beds, don't hold me to these numbers, but let's say that all 200 beds that they are staffing are filled. The hospital was built for maybe 400 beds. So that gives you a sense of how the market has changed. And so full is a very relative term in these cases.
Well, we will see what happens once we have a new mayor, and certainly the politics of our changing healthcare system nationally, at the state level, locally, keeps playing out in our lives and our neighborhoods, and the next mayor will have this on his shoulders. Anamota Hartikolous, New York Times reporter, Fred Mogul, WNYC health reporter, thank you both very much. and talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for listening today. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.